Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis, and we got a returning guest here.
Are we live?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, sure, we're live. Yeah.
Sweet, okay.
Xavier.
Hey, welcome. I was about to say welcome back. Oh, it's good to... thank you for that welcome back. Dang, I'm all over the place today. Good to be back.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all that, we'll leave it all there. The water and soda you've been drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully I won't have to get up to pee in the middle of this. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's good to be back. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, I know. Every time I talk to you, you're like, so, when are we recording again?
Yeah.
But
so much that I came up here to record this. Yeah. This is not a location shoot. This is... Yeah. In studio.
You're as all for all intents and purposes, you're live in studio.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, this is episode number 16, and of course you can find all our episodes at popculturerewind.podbean.com. You can also do a search for us on iTunes and also on the Stitcher radio app. So on both of those, do us a favor, hit the subscribe button, give us a little rate, review, a thumbs up, whatever you got to do. Let us know how we're doing. And tell your friends about us, share it, and let us know. Oh, also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/popculturerewind. And hey, there's also, we have the Twitter machine. And do you want to say it?
No, you got it.
Oh, okay. @popculturerwnd. And you can see all the tweets that I...
Tweet?
Yes.
Whatever.
Well, in all honesty...
There's probably some weird rules of terminology
regarding... In all honesty, it's what I do on Facebook gets copied over to Twitter.
Oh, okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people who do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, before we get into the rewind for this week's episode...
Yeah, and this week's episode I'm excited about, because it's true rewind we're going here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one.
Once you told me about this...
I want to thank you because you were nice. I pitched this idea to you actually, and you were nice enough to run with this. This was an idea I had the other day, and I pitched it to you, and you know, we started thinking about this a lot. And
whatever flies, man. I'm open for anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll get into how this topic inspired me when I get into the first topic. But before that,
let's do a pop culture pause for a second. Let's check out some recent news that's been I guess. In pop culture recently. Entertainment-wise, there was a big announcement in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They finally, after all the rumors and whatnot, Marvel Studios and Sony were able to make a deal to where Spider-Man will be in Marvel movies.
Yeah, I was surprised. I kept hearing that they were in talks to do this, but I did not honestly think it was going to happen.
Yeah, anytime soon.
Yeah. I did not see this coming, it really happened.
Yeah.
But, I got a little nervous when I first read about it, because it made it seem as if that Sony... It says Sony. Marvel will be invited into the Sony universe or something like that, or I think was the wording.
Yeah, basically, no, he'll be in the Marvel movies, but Sony...
Is it still going to be Garfield?
No.
They're recasting Spider-Man.
Garfield's out.
Oh, okay. When I read this news, that wasn't news. I thought it was going to be Garfield.
Well, let me rephrase that. So far, there's been no mention of Garfield being Spider-Man.
Okay, well.
Okay. And, basically, Sony still has control of Spider-Man, but he can be in Marvel movies.
Okay. So there's really no reason to recast him.
There's no reason to. If Sony still has control
over him. If they still like Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this has caused some, I guess, rearrangements on the timeline. You know, we mentioned that, like, the timeline of, like, everybody's seen it, like, the list of all the Marvel movies that are coming out. So now some of those have been kind of jumbled around and pushed
back. How does this affect Sinister Six? Because Sony was working on building their own expanded universe with the Sinister Six movies.
A couple days later, they did announce that Sinister Six would still be a thing. So they are still going to do it, but we don't know much.
Is Spider-Man even going to be in part of that, or is this like a Suicide Squad thing, where it's like the villain movie?
I think he'll be in it. I don't see how they could. I mean, because he's still going to be in the Sony. Sony will still make Spider-Man movies too.
Mm-hmm.
But they did announce the first movie that Spider-Man will be in a Marvel movies. It's going to be the next Captain America.
Oh, see, I haven't read that either. All I read was this
Yeah, that was announced again like a couple days later when they were releasing more information about
in
it.
In the next Captain America. And what's the next Captain America movie?
Civil War?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Which makes sense. Yeah. That makes total sense. Spidey's a big part of that.
Yeah. No spoilers or anything for people who haven't read the comics, but he's a big catalyst. Not a catalyst, but there's a...
Yeah.
A big event happens in Spider-Man's life, so...
Yeah, I'm acting it out that you can't see, but we're like, yeah, exactly, okay.
But
that's good news. Spidey, I mean, he is an Avenger.
Oh, absolutely.
He is an Avenger. A lot of people don't even realize that.
And, you know, it's funny. Everybody wanted Spider-Man to be in Avengers and this and that, and that's finally going to happen, and yet I'm still hearing people bitch about it. Like, it's like you can never please everybody.
No, you can. Yeah, people are going to bitch regardless. But
now people are bitching that Garfield's not going to be Spider-Man. I think we're going to be on the same page on that. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Garfield. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people prefer him over, like, say, Tobey Maguire.
Although if Garfield was cast in a Spider-Man movie that Marvel was producing, who knows? Maybe he would have...
Good point.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much if it's got the controls of
it's
Marvel.
It's that he is the lead main titular character in a bad movie. It's not even so much that he's a bad actor.
A lot of people were saying that, like, Garfield was the reason why they liked watching this Amazing Spider-Man movies. But
yeah. To be honest, I don't think he's really the reason why I don't like them. It's a lot of other little things
about those movies. Everything. Like, the movies aren't good.
But, yeah, I don't think it's fair to really put it all on his shoulders.
And it all goes back to, like, personal taste, criticisms, things like that, where some people like him as Peter Parker. Me, personally, Garfield's not Peter Parker. I'm sorry. He's too cool. He's too cool.
His Edward Cullen haircut, and he's skateboarding, and he's defending nerds against bullies. He should be the one getting picked on.
Yeah.
Not the one standing up to bullies.
Exactly, yeah. Even in the part two, when the graduation, like, he comes flying
He's too cool.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
I can't relate to that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Peter Parker's a nerd.
Yeah.
He gets picked on. He has no... Right. Yeah, and that's what made Spider-Man as a character such a neat character. Yeah.
But then again, to your point, what you just said, if maybe Marvel... can write him in a certain way.
Yeah.
Maybe they can tune that down a little bit.
And I'm sure they could. Marvel right now, it's like they can do no wrong.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But then people were bitching about, besides that it's messing with the time frame of all the movies. It's like, dude, you got like 30 fucking movies coming out, right? You'll be okay if one gets pushed back.
And I'm sure even if this news wasn't announced, this is like 5-year time frame. I'm sure things are going to get tweaked and altered.
A movie
will come out that might not make a lot of money, and then they're gonna have to alter their plan. What if Ant-Man bombs and that creates a domino of pushing this forward or writing this? You know, so
yeah,
it's not like this is all written in stone and everything.
I was ecstatic whenever I heard this news because I was like, fine, at least this is something. It's progression. Like, I didn't think that this was gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Actually,
now we just gotta get Fox to let go of Fantastic Four already. I was surprised when that trailer came out. I didn't think that movie was really getting made. I thought they were paying actors and paying and getting scripts for all this stuff just as a way to maintain the rights. I didn't think they were actually going to make a movie.
Now,
it turns out they are.
This actually happened, and I don't know the reason for it, but a lot of people are saying Marvel actually canceled Fantastic Four.
What do you mean?
The actual comic.
Oh.
Like, it's not there anymore. Just to spite Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, that's a good book. I like the FF books when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, to your point, I mean, the Marvel book should still...
And the Fantastic Four was always a big part of Infinity War. I mean, they were always part of the big Marvel epic things. Fantastic Four was always a big part of it, you know. Reed Richards is part of the World War Hulk thing and blah, blah, blah. You know, they're a part of the Marvel Universe.
I think that... I don't see Fox being as liberal as Sony, because Sony has really the one franchise, the one character, whereas Fox has... X-Men, Fantastic Four, you know, all these characters within these franchises.
Yeah.
Unless they can, like, I don't know, negotiate or just get, like, a character here and there that they need from those franchises. Like, Wolverine, he'd be good in Avengers. Like you said, Fantastic Four would be good in Infinity War.
Yeah.
When that happens. So, I hope they're able to work something out to where the rest of the characters... are able to come over, but I don't see it happening.
I just want some reclusive billionaire to just come out and buy it all and then hand it over to like a Josh Whedon or something and let him just oversee it all, or a Kevin Feige, just let him run it all.
You know, it was one of those things where I joked about this a couple of times online, where every time I hear something about like a Fantastic Four movie or the X-Men movies or whatever, I was like, Can't Disney just buy Fox? don't they have enough money?
Right?
But other than that, I'm definitely looking forward to that, and I don't have anything bad to say about that deal. I think that's awesome that they were able to pull that off.
It was annoying. Remember when we were kids and you didn't even know a movie was coming out until you saw it in the theater?
Yeah.
And now we know about a movie 5 years before it comes out. Yeah. We have to sit and wait around for it. Now, you know, as soon as the news in the studio of executives are making deals, we know about it the next day. We know everything. You know, but we're
I kind of wish it was a combination of both things. Like, I wish... Well, let me say, I'm glad that they have like a 5-year plan or 10-year plan or whatever, yeah. But I wish we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember seeing, I went to go see Dumb and Dumber in theaters, and then they had a trailer for Mortal Kombat. I did not know this movie was being made. I did not know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So the first news I hear of it is sitting in the theater watching the trailer, and it blew my mind, you know?
Yeah. And that's going back to the days where there was no internet or anything.
And now there's trailers for trailers. Like, there's news. This week, the trailer is about to drop. And, you know, we're...
Like, the most recent one was Terminator Genesis. It was, like, the teaser trailer. There was a...
The trailer.
Yeah, there was a trailer for the teaser.
I
was like, what?
The teaser trailer. Yeah.
It's like it's trailer inception.
It's getting ridiculous, yeah.
Trailer inception. That's what it was.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Okay, so that's that. It was just announced recently. I kind of fallen off of the show, but Community.
Just picked up by Yahoo?
Yeah.
Yahoo.
And season 6 is a go. It'll be out March 17th.
Mm. And we're losing another cast member. Yvette Nicole Brown is no longer in it. But we're gaining...
Chevy Chase has come back, I think.
I think he like might do a flashback or a cameo. He's not like a cast member.
Oh,
again.
Okay. I thought... Okay, I heard...
And they're bringing Keith David... Is now a part of it.
That's true, yeah.
And someone else.
That's got my curiosity.
Whose name escapes. I love Keith David.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And another person they said is being added to the cast whose name escapes me. But
the last season that I was on NBC, was that season 4?
Yeah.
No,
but
5.
What was weird is they brought back Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
Like, they brought the original showrunner who got fired, they brought him back, but it's like even he wasn't enough to get the show back on track. And now I'm still going to watch it. Of course I'm going to watch. I like Community.
That last season on NBC, though,
it was hard. You didn't like the G.I. Joe?
That was the saving. That was like the hidden gem, and that was like the best episode for me.
The G.I. Joe, yeah. I'm trying. I can't even think off the top of my head of any really good episodes that whole season.
Mm-mm. Nothing good, epic, like, or what they would say, meta. You know, there was no good episodes. Well, the G.I. Joe was meta, I guess. But,
yeah.
But that last season was so bad. I was actually glad it was over.
Really? I need to rewatch those. Those were the ones with Jonathan Banks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike from Breaking Bad.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, one last thing I wanted to touch on here. I just, you know, anniversaries-wise and everything. Breakfast Club. It's coming back into the theaters.
Is it like a 30th anniversary or something? Is there a reasoning behind this?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think it's probably 30 years.
That's cool. I mean, I have it on DVD. I'm not going to pay $8 to go.
I probably won't go see it in theater. But, you know, for those that like the experience of seeing classic movies back in the theater.
Yeah, to be honest, I actually have bought tickets, you know, the last 10 years to go see, like, Ghostbusters, Evil Dead 2. I've seen them in theaters. I paid money just because I wanted to say I saw it in the theater.
Right.
Yeah,
were they all at the Alamo Draft House?
One of them was. Another one was at this little rinky-dink. I was in, like, Florida or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I know around here it's usually Alamo Draft House.
Yeah. I did see Army of Darkness at the Draft House, and they gave everybody cap guns.
Really?
So we could be shooting along with the... That was fun.
Yeah. But anyway, the Breakfast Club will be back March 26th and the 31st. So, ta-da.
Ta-da.
All right, so that's it for this episode's Pop Culture Pause. Now, let's get on with the rewind.
Okay, now this I came up with this idea. The other day I was watching a movie, and it was an old movie from the early 80s, and I was thinking, wow, this is a fun movie. I'd love to talk about it, you know, maybe on the show. But I thought, but this thing has kind of faded into obscurity. Nobody talks about this anymore. How could you segue that in unless let's make that the topic of the show? And then I started thinking of other old movies that you watched as a kid that you love, but... Maybe they're not on Netflix right now, or they're not in the public conscious. SNL isn't making spoofs of them. People don't quote these movies. They've sort of just faded away.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where they're just they bring back fond memories of watching them.
Yeah.
as a child.
And then, or maybe you talk to somebody about them, and they're like, "I don't even know what movie you're talking about."
Yeah.
I've gotten that a lot.
I'm hoping during this episode there's going to be a little bit of both. Like, there's going to be we're going to mention some movies, and I'm hoping that you as listeners will be able to be like, oh, yes, I remember that movie. That was awesome. Yeah. Or there's going to be like, oh, well, what is that?
Might be like, I remember that. It's nice to hear that someone else remembers movie that I watched as a kid. Anyways.
I'm hoping that everything's not going to be recognizable, actually.
Yeah, well, I got a list here. Mm. And I kind of want to start with the one that I was watching that gave me the idea for this movie.
Yeah, and after you told me about it, I did make a small list myself.
Okay.
I don't know what, because I haven't seen some of these movies in so long, so I don't know if I'm going to remember all the details of them, but I do remember the name of the movie, this and that. Yeah, okay. So maybe we'll be able to talk about it.
Okay, well, the movie that was the inspiration for this is an awesome little sword and sorcery gem from 1982. Called Beastmaster.
Ah, yes, Beastmaster.
Okay. And this movie actually did have like had two shitty sequels, and it even had like a TV show.
I remember the TV show. I remember one sequel. I don't remember this. There's two sequels after that?
I think so. I think it was like a straight to DVD sequel, though. Maybe. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know there's a shitty second one. It's called Beastmaster 2 Through the Portal of Time, where he comes to modern time.
And yes, because we talked about that on a time travel episode.
Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah. It's a whole fish out of water thing. But the original Beastmaster from 82 is awesome movie. This thing it was so popular back in the day. They used to play the hell out of this on TV. In fact, I was on IMDb reading the trivia. Apparently, it got played on TBS and HBO so much that people started calling TBS the Beastmaster station. So that's what it stood for. And HBO stood for, hey, Beastmaster's on. Because it got so much play. And I remember it came on TV all the time.
Maybe that's why everybody remembers it so much.
Yeah, and now nothing. I don't think it's streaming anywhere. I don't think any of the movies on my list are on Netflix streaming. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Did that come out before or after Conan?
Well, Beastmaster came out in 1982, and I think Conan the Barbarian, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously, came out in 1980, the same year.
Really?
So now I don't know which one came out first.
Wow, okay.
I don't know the months, but they came out right around the same time.
Interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, Beastmaster, if you don't even know what we're talking about, it's a kind of a Conan type movie about a dude who was through sorcery, like this evil sorcerer gets a prophecy that this unborn child is going to kill him, so he has to kill the kid in a ritual sacrifice. So they, through sorcery, they transfer him from his mother's womb, and he gets birthed through a cow. And in doing that, he gains the power to commune with animals. And he's got this hawk or this eagle that he can see through the eagle's eyes, and he flies with them. And he's got a black tiger, which I don't know why he carries around a black. It was an actual tiger that they painted black. And the fucking thing died of like skin cancer.
I was going to say, there's two things wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's the 80s for you right there.
Yeah, and the tiger died after it. It got skin cancer and died. Poor that majestic beast. Anyways, why don't they just give him an actual. In part two, he had an actual tiger. But in this one,
it had to be a black tiger.
Yeah, in this one they give him a black tiger, and he has a couple of ferrets that run around with him too, and all that. And it's cool, a lot of cool scenes.
It's good. It's good, like 80s fantasy stuff.
Yeah, it was a good. Yeah, it was a good fantasy epic. You know, had some boobies, which is cool when you're.
Well, that goes hand in hand with 80s
movies. Yeah, and then this thing at the time was probably PG.
Yeah, no, right? Yeah.
Right, all the blood and sorcery and everything. And yeah. Mark Singer is a cousin of Brian Singer, actually.
Oh, really?
And brother of Laurie Singer, who was in Footloose and Warlock. And yeah, he plays Dar. That's the hero's name, is I'm Dar. And he looks like a beat-up Kevin Bacon, is what he looks like. But he was really in shape. So
Kevin Bacon looks like a beat-up Kevin Bacon.
Well, now he does, yeah. I mean, the whole time he's running around in, like, He-Man gear, like, boots loincloth, and then just shirtless.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, see, He-Man.
He-Man, right? Yeah, it kind of reminded you of that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I loved this movie as a kid. I haven't seen the second one in a long time. I'm scared.
On that note, what about Dragon Slayer? It was in 1981.
Peter McNichol. Yeah, that had that's the movie I remember watching as a kid, but I can't remember much about it, just random images of it. And I remember thinking the dragon scared the shit out of me when I was a kid, because it looked pretty cool. Yeah. Isn't there like a scene where there's like baby dragons, and they're like eating a corpse or eating a person?
I think so, yeah.
I think that scared the hell out of me, too. Dragon Slayer was pretty cool, though, too.
That's just more 80s fantasy awesomeness.
Like, I think what you were describing, like, you remember the movie, but you don't know much. I think that's how I am with Dragon Slayer. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it in so long. I think that was on my Netflix queue for the longest time, but I never got around to playing it.
We could go off on that, really. I mean, Cole, Cole the Conqueror. That was another like fantasy.
Cole the Conqueror. Is it? Wait, is no, that I'm the one Kroll. With Kevin Sorbo?
No, I'm thinking Kroll.
Kroll. Okay, yeah, but I don't think Kroll has faded away in obscurity, has it? Maybe it's because I own that on DVD and I watched.
Well, it hasn't actually faded out of your obscurity.
Okay, yeah, about like 10 years ago, I had to go on Amazon to find it because it was really obscure, and it got delivered to me at work actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened up the box. I remember that in Reanimator. I got them both, and everybody in the shop was like, "I never even heard of these two movies." I'm like, "You losers! How do you not know Kroll and Reanimator?" But yeah, Kroll. That I don't know. I think that maybe it's because that movie's never faded to me personally. But you're right. Nobody talks about Kroll anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There was a scene in Pineapple Express. He's watching Kroll on his TV in James Franco's apartment. And I guess that's the only reference I can think of in modern pop culture that proves that this movie ever existed. Oh, I love me some Kroll. We should do a whole Kroll podcast. We should do a commentary on Kroll. Let's fucking start watching Kroll right now.
Well, let's calm down there.
Okay, yeah, no, sorry.
okay, I might have one for you.
All right, yeah. What do you got?
This might sound kind of weird, but for whatever reason, one of the first movies that came to my mind... whenever we talked about this, it's an old from 1984. It stars Tom Hanks, Daryl Hannah, Splash.
Okay, I remember me some Splash. Eugene Levy, John Candy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So It wasn't like a bad like B movie or anything. It was like
a pretty big movie.
I think it was Disney.
Ron Howard did it. Yeah, it was like a pretty big movie.
But for me, when I watched it as a kid, I don't remember hearing anything about it later on. Like nobody. Really,
you're kind of right. Like I don't ever see it on TV anymore.
Yeah,
airing on TV. I can't remember the last time I saw it at all in any shape or form. I don't own it or nothing, but I remember it pretty well because I watched it like Bocce Balls. I remember as a kid watching it a lot. Yeah,
and I remember getting fascinated by Daryl Hannah
and her strategically placed long blonde hair and everything like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Splash. What you said? 84.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dang. So that, yeah, it was probably already out of theaters all
by
the time
we must have
caught it through TV or something.
Yeah.
See, and that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't
come on TV anymore.
VHS.
Or VHS, yeah. I don't think I had that on VHS. Like, some of these movies on my list, I know them really well because they were the movie. That back in the day, we would watch a movie on VHS, mm-hmm. it would end, rewind it, and just watch it again.
Yeah.
We'd watch it every day. There's a lot of movies that I used to do that too. But some of them, like Stand By Me, Commando, I used to watch the hell out of those. But those are way too famous to talk about.
Yeah. I wouldn't say those are obscure at all.
Yeah, some more obscure ones. Okay, now I got one that this is probably the oldest one on my list, probably the most obscure. And I kind of want to talk about it because I don't know anybody outside of my brother or a couple childhood friends who have ever even heard of this movie. It's called Super Fuzz.
Oh! No, I never heard of it.
You never
heard
of it? I really was like, oh, shit. It's 1980. It's about a cop who gets superpowers.
Hence the name Super Fuzz.
I mean, are you hooked yet? Does this sound awesome? Okay. He gets caught in like a nuclear explosion, kind of a cliche way of getting superpowers. And every time he sees the color red, he loses his powers.
Hmm.
And he doesn't have like a list of, you know, simple power. It's just, he could just do random shit. Like there's a scene where he's chasing a guy who's in a car driving away, and he's just running as fast, and he's like right outside the car window, and then like a billboard is red and he just stumbles, he loses his powers.
Like a blip of red, like, or does it have to be like red up in his face, everything?
If he sees red, he loses his powers. There's a scene where he's in a grocery store shopping a robbery, and he has his gun, his little 38, and the guy's like poof, poof, shooting him, and he's moving his gun all around, like zigzagging through the mm-hmm. air. And then after the scene's done, he shakes his gun out. Turns out he caught every bullet in his own gun. He caught five of them. The sixth shot, he catches with his teeth. Now, I think this might be the first instance of a guy catching a bullet with his teeth. This is before
Ace Ventura.
This is before Last Dragon. This is before Arnold in Terminator 3. This is before Weird Al in UHF. Holy fuck, there's a lot of guys who have caught bullets with their teeth. That's like four examples. Yeah, I think this might be the first example of a guy
catching. So this is an unsung hero of people catching bullets in their teeth.
Exactly. Maybe the first guy.
The Godfather, right?
Yeah. And he's like unkillable, too. Like the movie starts out, he's on death row about to be executed. And the newscaster is saying, like, this is the fifth time we tried to execute him. We tried to hang him. We tried to shoot him. And he just won't die. And he's sitting there in the electric chair. And he's sort of reminiscing, like, I remember how I got to this situation. And then, like, then it kind of becomes like a flashback until three quarters we catch up with him on death row and he escapes. By kind of like turning the electricity on everybody else. He's getting electrocuted, but instead he kind of channels it and everybody.
Wait, this is the same Super Fuzz, right?
Yeah.
So why was he on death row? I thought he was a cop.
He was framed. Oh, I forget. Okay. I'm trying to remember the exact plot. Yeah, it's nobody ever remembers it. It's got this great theme song that I'm not going to sing, but
it can has YouTube, like this, can you, is it on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Right. It's called like Super Snooper. It's a real disco-y 80s. It's,
well, it came out in 80, right?
Yeah. He's a super, super, really super. It's cheesy as
well. Well, 80's still disco.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think it was on its way out, but it's, oh, nobody ever remembers Super Fuzz, and that's a movie that deserves. Ernest Borgnine's in it. If that helps sell it anymore. He's not the Super Fuzz guy. There's a guy named Terrence Hill who he never.
Oh, really Terrence did, Hill.
He never really did anything other than this, other than this movie that I know of. But anyway, Super Fuzz. If you can find it, check it out.
Do you want people to check it out? I mean, like you watched it as a kid, you know? I mean,
well, I haven't watched it in years, and maybe it doesn't hold up. Even as I'm describing it, it sounds kind of stupid.
So you haven't seen it.
This is more of a nostalgia goggles.
Right.
Is why I love it. Yeah, okay. I don't know if this holds up. Some of these on my list, I think Beastmaster kind of holds up. I think if we were to sit down and watch it now, I mean, yeah, it's clearly dated, but the idea is still really cool. Super Fuzz is kind of cheesy. It kind of goes for, like, flimsy gags, almost.
I don't know, man. All the superhero movies out, they can make a comeback. Reboot.
Super Fuzz, right? I think I could totally see this being rebooted for modern times and even keeping the name Super Fuzz. Yeah. That just sounds fun.
Right.
And it's about a cop who happens to get superpowers. If they approach it in a wacky kind of a way, I could totally see this being rebooted. Big time. But anyway, what do you got?
All right, here's one for you. I don't know if it's really obscure or not, but The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, okay. I know, yeah.
All I remember this as a kid was just a knockoff Star Wars movie. That's like... Even like when I was watching it as a kid.
I think anything that had to do with spaceships was a knockoff Star Wars in the 80s, pretty much. Yeah.
Even if they weren't trying to be, they were.
Yeah. If there was lasers and spaceships, it was a wannabe Star Wars.
I actually want to go back and rewatch that. I actually have it on DVD. I just haven't had a chance to like pop it in
yet. Yeah, I saw that. I don't... Okay, I remember images and like three scenes stand out, but as far as like the real big plot, I don't remember too much of it.
Yeah.
Well, the plot of the movie is it's about a kid who is playing an arcade game.
Right. Yeah.
And it turns out all these arcade games are put on Earth as a way to like test for potential pilots in this ongoing space battle in outer space.
I remember the kid was from Earth and they took him in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
because he had like a high score in this game. And, like, aliens out in space are using these games all over. I mean, as a kid, you're, like, thinking, wow, by playing video games, I could become a hero in an intergalactic civil war kind of a fight. So that was kind of cool. And I remember they replaced, like, he goes up into space, and they replace him with, like, a robot to sort of take his place.
Oh, okay.
And there's a scene where, like, the robot takes off its own head, and it's, like, working on itself in the bedroom, and his little brother, like... sees what's happening, the little brother freaks out, and then like the disembodied head is like, "Hey, I told you to go to sleep, or I'm gonna tell mom about your Playboy collection or something like that." That's like one scene that just I happen to remember. And I remember at the end, his like super move is the ship sort of just starts spinning like in 360-degree axis, shooting lasers in every direction, killing every bad guy. That was like his move like that won the war. I guess so. Yeah, I don't remember any actors in that movie who went off to do anything.
Yeah.
But the whole work, the video game angle, I think, attracted me as a kid. Like, that's kind of cool that if I play video games good enough, maybe I'll get selected to go off into space and fight. Anyway, that's a good one.
What about, I got one more here for you, speaking of, like, video games and stuff. What about The Wizard?
I don't know. I thought in the 80s, what video game movies were in the 80s? The Wizard? That was a disappointment, I think, because I thought it was going to be all about video games, and then the Power Glove made its debut in that movie.
Yeah. I just liked it. I mean, just as a kid, like, we're in a Nintendo so heavily, and then you got, like, Super Mario Bros. 3 was in there. That was, like, I think that was one of the...
That was where they, like, unveiled it in the competition.
Yes. Yeah. Like, nobody knew about Super Mario Bros. 3. Yeah. That was something for the movie. Yeah. When it came out. And then and they're playing Double Dragon in the restaurant.
Weren't they playing Pole Position, and he did really good?
I think so. Yeah.
Was Daryl. Remember the movie Daryl? It was about a robot kid. Like, Daryl was an acronym. He's playing Pole Position because he's a robot. He does, like, really well. And I just remember being like, hey, Pole Position. I remember that. It's a really shitty racing game.
Obscure?
Obscure, yeah. No, but I remember the Wizard. I remember there's a scene because, like, his dad and brother are hunting for him across the country, mm-hmm. and they're in a hotel, and it's Christian Slater and Bo Bridges, and they hook up a Nintendo system in the hotel room, and they play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ninja Turtles, I was big into that. The Wizard. It was called The Wizard, right? Not The Wiz? I'm thinking of something else.
The Wiz was the Michael Jackson Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
The
yeah.
Wizard.
Okay, all right. I'm going to get another one in here.
Sure.
This is another movie about a little kid, kind of, who goes on a space adventure. Sort of a combination of the two you just said.
Yeah.
From 86, called Flight of the Navigator.
You son of a bitch! You stole my thunder on
that. Was that on your list?
Yeah. Oh.
My bad. Okay. I actually did watch this one recently.
Yeah.
Like, a few months ago, I watched it. The kid is still really annoying.
Yeah, but
at the time, the whole time I was a kid, I never realized that the robot was Paul Reubens.
Yeah.
I didn't know that as a kid. I don't know why. Because
when I was like, a kid and I heard it, I was like, that voice sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's like, duh. He even does like the kind of stupid voice. I don't know why I never put together that was Paul Reubens. But that was. Did we talk about this in the time travel episode?
I don't think we did, but we should have.
There's some time. Yeah, that is a time travel movie.
That is a big
time travel movie. Because he's a little kid in 1976, and on his way home, he like falls down, gets up, comes home. It's like 8 years later or something like that. Yeah, that's definitely time travel in that one. I thought the ship was really cool.
Yeah.
It looked like a peanut, but silver and pointy.
It
shifted.
Yeah, it shifted.
Like, it looked like a walnut, but then when it was going to fly, it got way pointy and aerodynamic.
When it wasn't going to fly, when it was going to be badass.
When it got an activate badass mode, yeah. Yeah, Flight of the Navigator. It had some cool little music in there, too. Alan Silvestri, I think, did the score for that. And a couple of those songs, I think, like, I like to listen to.
And, you know, just some of the things, like the little small little creature.
That little puppet thingy or other, yeah.
The small one, the little cute one.
Yeah, the little,
There's that.
He's all dancing and shaker. That's so cheesy. Young Sarah Jessica Parker is in this movie. Mm-hmm.
There was a scene, again, as a kid, one thing, tunnel vision here. When he goes into, they prepared a room for him. And he goes in the room and there's, like, they got toys and everything out for him. And there was, Transformers and stuff all in the bed. And there's like a Starscream on
it. For real? Yeah. Oh, your mind caught that. I don't even remember that. That's funny. I remember him asking, he's changing the channel. Like, why is it Starsky and Hutch on? And I was a little kid, I didn't know what the hell Starsky and Hutch was. I mean, now I know.
Okay, one reference that I didn't get then, but I get now was
Twisted Sister. Yeah. I think I knew who Twisted Sister was because of Pee Wee. Remember that scene when Pee-wee's on the Hollywood lot?
And then
Twisted Sister is the band that he rides right past them while they're filming.
That's a nice little connection between
them. Yeah. He just came up with something cool. Anyway. I'm sorry I stole your thunder there on that one.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. You name one now. Maybe it'll be on my list.
I doubt it. I'll be surprised if it is, actually. Asterisk, batteries not included.
There was an asterisk on that?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why. I have no idea, but every time
because when you buy a package, it says, I never even noticed that. I remember this movie.
Yeah,
little spaceships,
the small little spaceships, and the apartment in the apartment building, and they have to like fix it up and everything. And
I remember like old people, and didn't they run
a restaurant or something? Yeah.
And did they run like a restaurant or something? Because I remember there's a scene where they're like flipping burgers or something. The little spaceships.
I know it was a. They ran a
hotel. They were flipping burgers because I remember like one of the little spaceships, like the cheese flops on him and he winds up in the burger.
That's right, they were shaped
like a little patty.
Yeah,
because there's these little flying saucers. Right. It's like an alien race of like flying saucers.
Yeah,
were they like sentient robots or was there little aliens in them? I don't even remember.
I think there's those themselves were the sentient aliens.
Okay, yeah, and they.
I don't know. This is one of those things where I've seen it. I watched it.
Batteries
when I was
not included. Yeah. I haven't thought of that forever.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. That's the whole point of this episode.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
But hopefully it's said something that someone out there is listening to. They're like, oh, yeah, I remember that movie. But
Jessica Tandy was the chick. And there was this actress in it. This is a Mexican actress. I forget her name. Peña. I think I want to say her last name was. She was in a bunch of stuff.
Elizabeth Peña?
Yeah, Elizabeth Peña. I couldn't think of her name.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she's just been tons of stuff. She was in Incredibles. It was like the last thing I think of that she did. But I think she died recently. I just remember her and then Jessica Tandy, the only actors I could think of that were in that movie.
Yeah, you're right. She passed away in October.
Yeah.
Not that I would know that from IMDb.
Anyway, you know, that was a good one. I totally forgot all about batteries not included. Okay. All right, I got one. I hope you remember. It's an 84 sci-fi movie. Now, you want to talk about Star Wars ripoffs. It's called Ice Pirates.
I've never seen it.
Okay, apparently it's like in the future, and water is like a really rare commodity.
Okay.
So there's a group of pirates, and they steal ice.
Makes sense.
So, Ice Pirates.
Right.
Yeah, I want to say Robert Urich is like the main guy. And they really are like pirates, like swashbuckling, swinging on the rope with swords, kind of a vibe. And on his crew, he's got a young Ron Perlman, he's got a young Angelica Houston, a young John Matuszak, who you might know as playing Sloth in Goonies, among some other stuff, a young Bruce Valanche. It's a funny movie. I mean, it's definitely got like a slapsticky comedy vibe to it. It's kind of a silly movie. But yeah, I used to watch the hell out of that movie as a kid. Ice Pirates. I don't know. Have you ever heard of it? I feel like it's a hard sell. and there's a little bit of time travel in this one too, because at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, they're trying to get to this lost planet that they think has water, and the only way to do it is to travel through this time warp. And the bad guy ship is kind of connected, and they're traveling with them. So the bad guys are boarding their ship, and time is going really fast. Like the battle at the end, they're literally aging a lot. Like they're starting to get gray. And they're getting long beards while they're still fighting. So they age like 60 years in the battle. By the end of it, like they're totally old guys with Gandalf-level beards. They're still fighting, and it's kind of funny. There's a black dude on it, and he has this gigantic afro that's like 5 feet wide in diameter, and it's completely white. And it's pretty funny. It's a silly movie, but yeah, I love me some Ice Pirates.
And just to clarify, he's saying Ice Pirates.
What is it you think?
ICE.
Oh.
Was I not? You said it kind of fast.
I told you that I said water is rare. They're stealing ice. ICE. Yeah. Okay, anyways. Ice Pirates, 84. I think everybody should check out some Ice Pirates. That movie is one that doesn't get any love these days.
All right. There's going to be one obscure movie. In this particular one, I'm not even going to say it's good. I'm just saying I remember this.
All right.
Santa Claus, the movie.
The Tim Allen?
No. It was 1985. I think Dudley Moore was in it.
I never even heard of this.
Exactly. No. But I remember it was my dad took me to the theater to go watch it, and that's the only time I remember seeing it.
What's it about?
I remember it was like he got taken to like Santa's workshop, and he basically the same premise as the he had to become Santa Claus pretty much.
Dudley Moore?
Yeah.
Okay.
And It was a very boring movie. When I watched it as a kid, it wasn't like...
It's just called Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus the movie, yeah.
Santa Claus the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I this does not ring any bells with me. It's kind of a lame title, or very misleading. It makes you think it's like a kid's movie or something.
Also had a John Lithgow in it, too.
Hmm. Yeah. What year was it?
85.
I do not know this movie. Santa Claus the movie, John Lithgow.
If you've seen it, great. If not, I really wouldn't worry about it. Just let you know about it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a new one on me.
And it says a lot, actually.
All right. Okay, gosh, which one? I got a few I want to talk about. Okay, I'm going to jump into this one right here, keeping with the sci-fi element.
Okay.
1989's Robot Jocks.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Now, people started talking about this a little bit when Pacific Rim came out. Because Robot Jocks, it takes place in the future when there's no more wars and all disputes between countries are settled in like old school gladiator fights
with robots,
these mech robots or mecha, whatever the word is.
Mech's fine, man.
Yeah. Well, if there's somebody, you know, robots or, you know, Android, if it's a mech, it's a person driving it anyway. But yeah, so
are you really doing the nerd voice on the podcast?
No, I'm just saying. Well, you were saying like, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, no, there's a distinction to be made between mech and robots. Even though the movie's called Robot Jocks with an X. Robot J-O-X.
Right.
Yeah, okay, anyways. And, God, what's the name of the... I forget the name of the actor. Graham something. Anyways, he plays Achilles, who's like the robot American champion, and his main and villain is, of course, this is an 80s movie, the Russians are the villains of this movie.
Yeah.
And, it is what it sounds like. You know, It's got the stop motion animation, so it doesn't hold up effects wise, it's kind of silly. Stuart Gordon of Reanimator directed this one, and even Herbert West himself has a little bitty cameo. Now, Jeffrey Combs.
I always get this movie mixed up with Robot Wars.
I don't even know what that one is.
It was supposed to be like a sequel or a prequel or something like that. It came out a few years later or whatever. But
oh.
Robot Jocks and then Robot Wars. But it's the same thing. I mean, it's...
Oh, well, just... Robot Jocks has no sequel despite what another movie... it was a full moon movie, tried to pitch it. And I think in some... It was marketed even as a Robot Jocks
sequel. Oh, wait, this is the one I'm thinking of. I'm sorry.
What? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
It's a... I forget the name of it all of a sudden, but it was... Some places you can find like posters that says like Robot Jocks 2, but it's not. It has nothing to do with Robot Jocks.
I think it's Robot Wars.
That might be it. But it's one of the full moon pictures. You guys probably mentioned it in your horror podcast.
Yeah, but, Robot Wars.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That came out in 93.
Okay, yeah, nothing to do with Robot Jocks. But Robot Jocks is pretty fun. It's pretty... And like there's a scene where there are robots when they're fighting... And one of them puts on the jets and goes flying into space. And the other one follows them into space. And they're in space for about 10 seconds. And then one of them shoots the other. And then they crash land back on Earth in the exact same spot they had taken off. That's amazing. But you could tell they only went into space for about 10 seconds so they could put it in the trailer.
Because yeah.
Every trailer had that shot of them flying into space.
You're the like,
money
wow,
shot. This is an epic picture. And they spend 10 seconds in outer space. And then they crash right back down. Kind of a letdown. But yeah, I still love me some Robot Jocks. Anyways, that's enough for that one.
Alright, I got a good one here for you.
Alright.
And if you haven't heard of this one, I'll be ashamed, actually. Willow.
Okay, yeah, come on. Yeah. Everybody knows Kaya! Kaya! Everybody knows Willow. That was Warwick Davis's big picture.
Yeah. Hey, a young Val picture. Val Kimmer was in there, but
Billy Barty.
Yeah.
For Tony Cox, pretty much every little actor working at the time was in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, George Lucas produced it, and you know he loves working with the little people. Seems like he does.
Yeah.
Got all them Ewoks in there. And
the Ewoks?
The what?
What'd you say?
I said Ewoks. Anyways. No, dude, that's a great fantasy movie.
And the only reason I mention it's hard for me to say obscure, but then again, when we're talking about Criterion for this... It's like nobody talks about him. Like nobody, like it never gets brought up anywhere.
I think you're right. The only reason that sets it, like you put an asterisk in this one, is that most of these movies were never that big of productions, or they were never that popular to begin with. Whereas Willow, in its time, was a huge movie,
right? Yeah,
and then it kind of just faded away really quick. But yeah, most of these movies that we've talked about were kind of, maybe other than Splash, that was kind of a big production in its time, but then it kind of just went away also.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where those actors in Splash, they weren't really big. I mean, besides...
Yeah, Val Kilmer was a pretty big name
at
the time. And I keep forgetting he's in. Because it almost doesn't even look like him. He's got long, dark hair. And you're used to seeing just a different looking Val Kilmer. It doesn't look much like him in it. But yeah, that was a cool movie, Willow.
Yeah.
I used to watch it a lot as a kid. I remember I had... Some like a friend of my mom's like had two VCRs at the time, and she rented it, or we I don't know she dubbed it for us as a favor, and I was a little kid, and I guess she thought she edited it, she cut out like a couple of graphic scenes, like where that two headed dragon where it eats the troll,
yeah,
she like edited like 3 seconds out of it. She would do this friend of my mom's, and I was like, what the fuck, like. And then years later, I finally got a DVD, and I'm like, that's what she edited out? Like, it wasn't even that... This is like a PG movie. It wasn't even that bad,
right,
but
yeah.
I guess she thought she knew... Oh, her boys are too young to handle this level of violence. So for years, I always saw Willow, the edited... the unofficial edited version of Willow, because it's some friend of my mom's.
And then you got it on DVD, and got the unofficial uncut version.
I actually don't have it on DVD. I would... If I saw it somewhere cheap, I would probably buy it.
You know, it's funny. I bought it on DVD, and then... I went to go pop it in to watch it, you know, while I was going to bed or whatever. And then at like 20 minutes into it, it starts skipping. And it starts freezing.
Was it
like,
a really? Used?
No, it was brand new.
Oh.
And I got, yeah, of course. And then I just said the hell to whatever. And then like later on, I went back and purchased like they released like a 20th anniversary or whatever. And I got that one. And that one's much better.
Right. That movie, you know, fucking Warwick Davis. Willow was like 17 when he did that movie.
Yeah.
He was like, he looked... crazy older. Like, I thought he was in a, like, because he has kids in the movie and everything. He's supposed to be like an adult, and he was like only 17 when he made that movie, which is crazy.
Yeah, because how young was he when he did Return?
He was a little kid when he did I think he was like 10 or something, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a little kid when he was playing the Ewok.
Yeah.
Alright, here's one. I threw a couple horror movies in here. I don't know if you guys talk about them already, but I want to mention a horror movie because, again, it's not one people always talk about. It's called, actually, it's one of those movies that has like two titles.
No.
You know, like it is marketed as two different titles. One, the one I've always known it, is called Chopping Mall.
Okay.
Which, you've heard of this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which sounds misleading. It makes it sound like a slasher film.
Yeah. But it's really not.
No, it's not at all. The other title is a bit more accurate. It's called Killbots. It's like, in other countries, it's...
I never heard it called Killbots before, but it makes more sense,
though. It's like Blood In, Blood Out is also known as Bound by Honor kind of a thing. It's just one of those... Or just recently, Edge of Tomorrow got now it's called Live, Die, Repeat. Like, it has, like, two titles. This is another example of that.
Killbots actually makes more sense for that movie.
It totally does, yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically like, what if a bunch of Johnny Fives went homicidal in a mall?
True, yeah. That's pretty much what it is.
They're, like, mall secured. It's like a bunch of teenagers who work in a mall. I guess they're supposed to be 20 or something. I don't know.
They spend the night in the mall or
they
something.
They spend the night, like, they work in the mall, and they spend the night at, like, a furniture store so they can drink and have some 80s teenage shenanigans in a horror movie. And this mall unveils these recent security drones, these three robots. If you have security robots, I mean... Put them in a mall, really? Like, put them in a bank or something?
Overkill,
like,
right? Right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. In the 80s, malls is materialistic.
And I think they get, like, their circuit board, like, their hub gets struck by lightning or something, and they get homicidal, and they just start killing the kids. And the kids, they're locked in the mall.
Right.
So, all night, and one by one, they're getting picked off. And
I remember that one because, every year, we go out to this this horror convention called Texas Frightmare, and they'll have like screenings at night, like after the show ends or whatever, after the con ends.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, do little screenings, and Chopping Mall was one of the movies, and it was actually fun to watch it because it was in with like a lot of, we had an audience,
It was the whole movie?
Yeah.
Because I went to the Draft House a couple years ago, and they did this, it was called a horror mashup, and they took three horror movies that were all loosely based around malls. And they edited them about 30 minutes each, and then they aired them like back to back to back. So it was like an hour and a half, and it was like Killbots, but it was just like the best 30 minutes, I guess, of the movie.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with two other movies.
Was it like bits of it, or was it like a supercut? Like they just took all the best parts and condensed the movie down to 30 minutes.
Yeah, they just condensed. Like you knew the plot of this movie. Right. It was just like really rushed and forced. And if you were confused, you're like, well, I'm sure that was explained, but it's just 30 minutes of a movie.
Yeah,
but I was like psyched that oh my god, like somebody out there remembers Chopping Mall enough to play it in the theater, and I went to go see it there, and that was a lot of fun. Chopping Mall, I always remember just Chopping Mall.
Yeah, because I don't think
I remember the movie poster is of like a shopping bag, and it has like a glove, and it's the glove is like squeezing, and blood is like flowing out of the glove. It's again, the poster is just as misleading as the title. It makes you think it's about a killer person, not a robot, and
we're just like someone cutting up people and putting them into a bag.
Chopping. There's no chopping done in this movie. No. And
it's just a bunch of bots killing.
A bunch of bots, and they even shoot like lasers. Like Johnny Five has lasers, and one of the girls in the movie, she dies. She's like running and she falls down because it's an 80s horror movie.
Right.
And she keeps turning her back because why don't she just fucking run away? Why do you keep turning around? Anyways, it shoots her in the head and her head explodes. And at the end credits, they're showing like 2 seconds of footage of the actor, and then they flash the actor's name. How movies like Predator do that? It's when her head is in mid explosion that they put the actress's name in the credit. I always thought that was hilarious. I don't know why more movies don't use that as a gag.
Yeah,
take like a funny, like a bad expression or something, and do that anyways. But yeah, Chopping Mall 86. Anyways, I got a couple of other horror movies I might get to.
All right, I'm getting down to the end of my little list here, but what about The Neverending Story?
Oh, is the first one? Because that one got like two...
It got like three sequels, or two sequels. It was like a trilogy,
I think that's
right?
Why it stayed relevant, because it just kept milking it.
It was never ending?
But but the first one, I need to rewatch that one.
Yeah, me too.
I forget how it ended. Because didn't it turn out like it was all real or something?
I want to say yes, but...
Because at the end, I remember he's flying on Falco or the Luck Dragon. I don't remember anything in this movie. And he chases his bullies like in an alley, like the dragons in Modern Times with the kid reading the story. So did it turn out it was all true, or wasn't he like written into the story?
Man,
like he starts reading about him. I need to.
That's the research I have to do on that.
Yeah, I need to, or just read a paragraph of Wikipedia summary. And that'll probably explain it.
Right.
But again, that's
this was one of those things where it was going around for a while. Had the sequels and everything, but that was in the '80s. Nobody really. It's kind of gotten lost over the years, I think.
Yeah. I remember Family Guy did like a joke where Peter's riding on the dragon, but he's too fat, and the dragon ends up just falling down.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah! And Falcor just falls. But I remember there was parts in that movie that were scary. Like the wolf or whatever it was. Like it was like a beast, and you pretty much always just saw his eyes in the shadow.
Mm.
Like I remember that scaring me. And then there's the part where like his horse like dies in the quicksand, and it's like really sad. It was like one of the early, it's like up there with Bambi's mom or Mufasa dying as a kid, like this, or Old Yeller. Like this was sad to see the horse, the kid's crying trying to pull his horse out of the getting a little of a glimpse right now.
I know, I was gonna say, like, as watching it as older, I'm sure it'd be even worse for us, cause you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that again, like just, and then there's like the rock biter character. He's like, yeah. like a living mountain or something.
Yeah,
like images and concepts stick out, but as far as the plot itself, I can't remember. I couldn't tell you what the movie's about. You know, yeah. The never-ending story. I remember the song too. Never-ending story. Please cut that. Okay. All right. Here's another one I want to talk about. It's called One Crazy Summer from '86. You know this one?
Sounds familiar.
Now I want to talk about this movie because the same writer and director, right before he did this movie, it stars John Cusack. Right before this, he did another movie called Better Off Dead.
Okay.
And Curtis Armstrong is also in this. Yeah, I saw you have Better Off Dead. And everybody talks about Better Off Dead. Everybody remembers it. And then right after that, he did another movie in the same style of humor. It has John Cusack. It has Booger, Curtis Armstrong. It's practically the same movie. Same, but nobody remembers this one. Hmm. Nobody talks about it. And John Cusack and his buddy Joel Murray, Bill's brother, they just graduate high school and they spend the summer in this little small island of a town, and you know Bobcat Goldthwait's in it, and other people, and
Demi Moore's
in it. She's like the chick, the love interest, and you know, oh, she has like a hotel that she owes all this back taxes on or something like that. So we got to save the house, you know. It's so they're so, and then there's like this evil family. Mark Metcalf, he was the master in the Buffy the Vampire series.
Okay.
Animal House. He is like this land developer who wants to buy the house to tear it down and turn it into a restaurant, and they're like the villains, and then they make a wager: if we beat you in this sailboat race, it's, you know, we win the house or something like that. And
80s personified.
Yeah, exactly. It's just an 80s movie, but it's got a lot of great gags, just like Better Off Dead. It has a lot of the same humor as Better Off. I mean, if you like Better Off Dead, I don't know why you haven't already seen this movie, because it's the same director. It came out only a year or two later. But for some reason, this one just never
under the radar
held its place. Yeah, the way Better Off Dead does.
Hmm.
And I think it's pretty much just as good.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have to check that one because I haven't. I'm one of the citizens.
You know Better Off Dead, and you love it, but this one just slipped by. Actually, I think I saw them in reverse. I think I saw this one first.
Yeah.
And then I went.
But they're not related or anything. It's just the same.
No, it's just just the same writer director, and he just happened to make a movie and
very
used
similar.
Some of the same. Yeah. A couple of the same actors too, young John Cusack. But yeah, One Crazy Summer, it's totally good. Do you have any more on your list? I have like three or four more.
I just got one more. It came to mind when I was trying to think of a list here. American Tail.
Fievel?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
animated movie from 1986. Yeah, about the little.
He's a little Russian. Was he Jewish?
I think so.
I think it was like a metaphor for that, right?
Yeah.
And he comes to America.
I don't know what the goal was, but yeah, he was.
I don't remember the plot. To be honest, I think I saw that a couple times when I was a kid. I thought it was cool, but I
think for that one, I think the problem with that one was it was animated, it was a cartoon, talking rats and everything, and animals, and that's what got the kids' attention. But I think the plot and the story and everything, I think it was more. There might have been some more like political stuff in there because it's just
it was too dark for kids or what?
Maybe just over their heads, I think.
Well, okay, that was Don Bluth, who did like a lot of good movies back in the day. If it wasn't a if it was a cartoon movie and it was good and it was Disney, then it was probably Don Bluth who did. What was it called? The NIMH, Secret of NIMH.
Yes,
that's
another one too. Yeah.
That one holds up like crazy. That's still really good. The animation's really good, and it's surprising. You watch it now, you're like, this is surprisingly dark for a kids movie. There's like the rats are fighting with swords. They're like stabbing each other, and there's actual blood. And this was a little kids movie.
Yeah,
that one. What else did he do? He did Titan A.E. That was another one Don Bluth did. One of the last ones he did.
Did he do
Anastasia? I think he did that one. I never even saw that one.
I could be totally wrong on this, but did he do the movies like Fire and Ice? And
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's a good thing we're talking about obscure movies, huh?
This is an animated movie?
Yeah.
What's it about?
Okay, no, I'm sorry. Fire Ice was actually one of the Ralph Bakshi films, which, you know, he did Wizards, Fritz the Cat, Lord of the Rings, even Heavy Metal. I think that's one of
his. But yeah, Land Before Time was the other thing I was thinking of that he did that was pretty big, that for its time was kind of holding its own, I think, up against. Because for me, you know, Littlefoot's mom dying is right up there with Mufasa. Those can go neck and neck as far as really sad. Yeah. And that was, like, I remember being a kid, every time I watched Littlefoot's. Anyways, all right. Well, what was the one you just said?
What, the Fire and Ice?
Yeah. Did you figure out what the heck? You said that was a different one. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I didn't even think about animated movies though. I got another one. It's another horror movie, and this is another one that it's called Night of the Creeps.
Yes.
You've seen this one? Mm-hmm. It's like these alien. It's like a sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Slither. When Slither came out, a lot of people were comparing it to A Night of the Creeps. And there's some similarities. These alien slugs crash land to Earth, and they go in your mouth, and they basically turn you into a zombie. It's a zombie movie, is what it is.
Yeah.
And then your head, they nest in your brain, and your head blows up, and tons of slugs slither out and create more zombies and all that.
They slither out.
Yeah, and I think it was Fred Decker did this. Right after he did Monster Squad, which is kind of like Better Off Dead. Everybody knows Monster Squad. Everybody remembers it. But for some reason, Night of the Creeps, which is an awesome movie, nobody talked about this one. It just slipped under the radar.
But I like Night of the Creeps. I like that. And Monster Squad's a good, I think, I don't want to say that's obscure, but that's.
But I think more people know Monster Squad than Night of the Creeps. And I don't know why. Because Night of the Creeps, it works on, I mean, it's got all the great elements of a sci-fi horror movie to it. And you could tell, like, all the characters in the movie, all the character names are references to other horror directors. Like, you can tell Fred Decker, you know, he's a fan of this genre. It's like a passion project for him. And it's a really good movie. I saw it when I was, like, 7 for the first time, and it scared the shit out of me. For years, I couldn't, like, even though I was, like, 14, old enough to not be scared, it was like I was 7 again watching this movie. Still scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. Another one that's similar to that I watched as a kid that scared me for years was House. You ever see House? Mm-hmm. It was in 1986. It had William Catt, the greatest American hero.
Oh, yes.
And Richard Mall was in it. And it's almost funny when you watch it now. Like, the makeup effects are silly and all that. The anime.
But in the time.
At his time, yeah. It scared the hell out of me if I was 6 or 7. Like, both of these movies I watched at a friend's house. Because my parents, they wouldn't let us watch scary horror movies. But at my friends, they would. So all these horror movies I saw.
Did you watch the sequel to House?
Yeah, I saw this. The second story. They make a few of them, or just two?
I think it was just the sequel.
I saw just the second one. It had nothing to do with the first one at all. Completely unrelated movie. It's a sequel in name only. But yeah, that one wasn't scary, and it wasn't even as good.
It had a house in it. That's why they call it House.
Mm-hmm. And the booby posters looked a little similar. One's like with like a dead hand ringing the doorbell. The other one's a dead hand. But that's like the only thing they have in common. Another old. This was not a horror. It's a vampire movie, but it's a comedy from '85 called Once Bitten, with Jim Carrey.
Oh yes, okay.
He's a high school student and he's a virgin, and this countess type vampire needs a virgin to feed off of to stay young, and she bites him, and slowly throughout the movie he's slowly becoming a vampire. You know, his mom is like gonna make steak for dinner, and she wrings all the blood out into a cup, and she's like, before you go to school, don't forget to drink your orange juice. And he grabs the blood instead and chugs it. Stuff like that. Of him, like, slowly becoming, like, Vampire's Kiss or something. And it's a young Jim Carrey movie. Early Jim Carrey. And he does this bit where he lifts his leg up and plays it like a guitar. because he's a flexible dude. I remember looking and thinking as a kid, I tried really hard. I would do stretches like yoga because I really wanted to do that bit where he lifts his leg really high in the air and plays it like a guitar. And I tried to do that and I can't. I'd probably kill myself if I tried to do that now.
There's a bit like an outtake or whatever from Supernatural where Dean he did that. He actually did the guitar.
Really?
Thing. Yeah.
Is he that? Wow. That's impressive if he can do that.
All right, there's... You just made me think of one. Transylvania 6-5000.
That's Jeff Goldblum and mm-hmm. Ed Begley. I've never seen this movie. I know of it. I've never actually seen it. What is this about? That was in my Netflix queue. I think I just saw the cover.
That's where I saw it was on Netflix.
Yeah, I just saw the cover. It's like, oh, I like those actors. I'll add it. And then I just never got around to watching it. But I have no idea what it's about.
Basically, it's about two reporters who travel to a castle in Transylvania to investigate the apparent reappearance of Frankenstein.
In Transylvania?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then exactly. And then they go and they meet different... They meet up with like different characters like the Wolfman and... I think it was Gina Davis that played like a hot like vampire.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Well, I think Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, weren't they a couple for like a long time? Because they were in The Fly together. They were in Earth Girls Are Easy together. They were working together a lot back in the day. I wonder if that's like part of it.
Maybe. It could be. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure. But that was one that I didn't actually see when it came out, but I saw it when Netflix had it on. But yeah, back in the time, it was so obscure.
Did you like it?
It had some moments.
Like, is it worth me checking out now if I came across it?
If you want it, like, just for curiosity's sake, I mean, just to go get a good sheet.
Yeah, because, you know, I love me some Jeff Goldblum.
If you like Goldblum, check it out.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so you have another one there?
Yeah, I have a few I could keep going. Actually, I'm just kind of curious if you've ever seen this movie, because, again, nobody ever remembered. It's called Morgan Stewart's Coming Home from 1987.
Mm-mm,
no. John Cryer, he's supposed to be like 17 or something, and his dad's like a U.S. senator, and he since he was 10 or something, he's been in boarding schools or whatever, and his folks for like re-election, you know, they want to bring the kid back, like vote for the family or something, so he mm-hmm. comes home even though he feels like a stranger, and he's trying really hard to get to create like a family dynamic. That's not really what the movie's about. The dad, his main like advisor or whatever, is Paul Gleason. He was a principal in Breakfast Club. Yeah. He was the chief cop in Die Hard. Him and William Zabka played like every asshole of the 80s. And he's trying to frame the senator or something. And so Morgan Stewart, played by John Cryer. Oh, there you go. tries to get his dad out of this. And the character is like obsessed with horror movies. Maybe this would interest you. He's like just a big horror movie fanatic. In fact, there's a scene where they lock him in his room. And to escape his room, he uses his Texas Chainsaw Massacre chainsaw with Tobe Hooper's autograph to cut his way out of his room. And he has all these horror memorabilia in his room and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of funny. And it was like an early John Cryer movie when he was, I guess, being groomed to be a star. You know,
this is after Ducky?
I think so. This is 87. When did Pretty in Pink come out?
Before that, no?
I think so. Mm. I mean, he was getting a few chances back in the day to become like a leading... sort of a dude.
He was well enough known to be getting
to get roles. His own movie, to star in his own movie, and you know, John Cryer never, his career never really took off. I like John Cryer, but yeah, again, this is like a movie that nobody remembers except the people I watched it with as a kid. So there's that. I want to talk about one more. It's from 1991, it's called If Looks Could Kill with Richard Grieco.
Yes,
do you remember this one? He's a high school student who gets mistaken for a spy.
Yes.
While on a field trip with his French class to France, he sort of goes along with it because they give him like a cool James Bond type car.
It's like a
Ferrari or something. But it has like the missiles behind the headlight kind of gadgets and stuff like that. And what's her name? Gabrielle Anwar, the Burn Notice girl.
Oh, she's in there?
She's like the chick. She's young. She looks pretty. Linda Hunt, a young Linda Hunt. Teeny little Linda Hunt's in it. The bad guy is Roger Reese. And it's kind of dumb, but as a kid, you're thinking, how cool would it be if I was
to do all the secret agent shit? Now that you're telling me this, I remember I got a kick out of it when I watched it. That was when I was like, what, 12, 13?
Yeah, like they give him high-top sneakers that can walk up walls, and they give him sunglasses that are actually X-ray specs. Yeah. And there's a funny scene where he's at a casino playing baccarat, or whatever. And he puts them on, and then he's looking at the girl, and her clothes disappear. She's in a bra, and he's like, "Wow!" And he turns over and looks at another girl, and disappear. And it turns out she's a man, and he's like, "Hey," because it's a guy in drag. That made me laugh as a kid. anyways, yeah, If Looks Could Kill, that's a movie that nobody ever talks about. That again, because I've looked for this movie, I got a hair up my ass a few years ago. I wanted to see it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't, find it online nowhere. That's what a lot of
people. If you can't find a movie online, it's obscure.
Well, yeah, okay.
Or really bad.
Yeah, I think I couldn't even find it at a Blockbuster back when at like a brick and mortar video store. That's what sucks nowadays. Like any of these movies, if I decide I wanted to see them and I couldn't find them on Netflix or Amazon or something, where would I go? I mean, what's your recourse to find a movie outside? I mean, because not everybody is that knowledgeable with downloading.
I was about to say, I can't strictly say that on the air.
But well, I mean, some people, like, only in the last year have I really figured out how to download movies. Beyond that, I had to physically get a hold of a DVD to see a movie. Right. That's how I was. I'm kind of late to the party.
Like, if you didn't want to... I guess you're right. You would have to just rely on the actual legit services of, like, Netflix or Amazon or...
Yeah, Netflix... does anybody even do DVDs in the mail with Netflix anymore? I don't know anybody who does.
They stopped that service, I think.
They did?
I think so.
Well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anybody who does DVDs anymore.
I could think is if you can't find them on those, I would say you'd have to go on, like, eBay and hope for someone's, like, selling a copy.
Yeah, go to Amazon and buy the DVD used or something and get it sent to you. If you wanted right tonight, I want to watch this movie tonight, you're out of luck unless you can find it on... streaming on one of the, Amazon or HBO Go, something like that.
But then again, you could say that's an issue with today's society anyways. It's always, like, here, now, I gotta have it.
Yeah, unless it's an obscure lost gem like these that, Netflix hasn't decided to pick up.
I have one more. It's not really a movie per se, but to me it's obscure from my childhood that I think I even told you about this a while back. Shelley Duvall's Fairy Tale Theater.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Shelley Duvall's...
name. Right there. Yeah. Shelley Duvall just... Yeah.
What channel was that on?
This was on Showtime. Okay. It was like one of the first programs on Showtime.
I remember... Because they're on YouTube, right?
Maybe.
I thought I could have sworn I saw... Because when you told me about it, like, did you buy them? Or you?
Yeah.
Okay, and you told me you had just bought them, and I was like, I remember those. And I went on YouTube, and I looked up the one that had my boy, Jeff Goldblum, playing the Big Bad Wolf.
No, that was Malcolm McDowell.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's some device out here that can tell us if we're right or not. But I'm pretty sure it was Malcolm McDowell, because it was Mary Steenburgen that was playing... Riding Hood, or Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Oh, well, that would make sense. They were probably married at the time.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I could have sworn it was Goldblum as the wolf. So maybe it wasn't the Big Bad Wolf, but he did play a wolf in Fairy Tale.
No, Jeff, I know what you're thinking of. He played
the Little
wolf.
Pigs.
Little Pigs.
That's what I'm thinking
and
of.
And he was fantastic in
it. He's like working out with his... Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Yes. So we were both right.
Yeah.
Or I wasn't totally wrong.
Our wrongs equal right.
No, I was going to say you were right and I was wrong, but a little bit right. Whatever.
Well, when you said wolf, I immediately thought...
Yeah.
I kind of jumped the gun on that. But yeah, regardless, they both play wolves in Fairy Tale Theater. And it was fantastic. If y'all can find that, that's just an amazing set of just the fairy tale stories. And there's a lot of really well-known actors and directors that were part of that show. You'd be surprised there and there. That was like one of the first Tim Burton directed things. Yeah, he did
seems like right up his alley.
He did Aladdin.
or at least his alley back in the day when he was
relevant,
creative, and good. Yeah.
Good.
Anyways, I had a couple more movies from the night, just really quick. Do you remember a movie from 92 called Innocent Blood? It's a vampire. It's a John Landis directed.
Yeah, I remember the image of it with the chick on the front.
With the red eye. Yeah. John Landis, horror movie, and it's a chick who's a vampire, and she tries to kill her victims because she doesn't want to create more vampires, but she attacks a mob boss, Robert Loggia. She doesn't get a chance to kill him, so this mob boss becomes a vampire. He starts turning his underbosses into vampires. Next thing you know, you got vampire mafia, And it's a lot. It's, you know, John Landis is a lot of fun. Little cameos by Frank Oz and Sam Raimi. And you know, John Landis loves to give directors cameos in his movies. He's given the Coen brothers cameos and things like that. And you know, these guys aren't even actors; they just show up in his movies.
Yeah,
which is really cool. And then another movie I wanted to talk about really quick. It's from '93 called Fatal Instinct. It's
Was that the parody of Basic Instinct?
Yeah, and Fatal Attraction and Sleeping with the Enemy and all those suspense movies. It's not like by the same guys who did Naked Gun and Airplane and Hot Shots. It's one of those.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It's one of those people who were like copying them. Like Loaded Weapon, you know, that wasn't them, but it's
you mean National Lampoon's Loaded
National
Weapon?
National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon, For the sake of brevity, I just always call it Loaded Weapon. And again, it's like the jokes are hit or miss. I'd say like one out of every three joke is good, like, you know, but there's enough good jokes in it to sit through it, even though the movie's kind of...
Would you say Men at Work is an obscure movie?
I
love that movie.
I was going to say, I think Men at Work is an amazing, awesome movie. I love me some Men at Work. That should have been on the list. Nobody talks about that anymore either. I mean, it had Emilio Estevez. He directed that one, too. He wrote and directed that, yeah.
But Emilio Estevez, Charlie Sheen.
And Charlie Sheen, Keith David.
Keith David, yeah.
Yeah, Keith David is hilarious in that movie.
Rent-A-Cops.
I hate Rent-A-Cops too. Yeah. there's some secret things in this world you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. You know, yeah, he's just so funny in that movie. I need to watch that one.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind owning that. I wouldn't mind having that.
I would buy that. And I'm surprised you don't find that. It seems like the kind of movie you'd find in like the $5 bin at Walmart.
Yeah.
Like somebody has a surplus of this movie and they're trying to get rid of it. But yeah, oh God, I love Men at Work. I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid. I still quote that movie like sometimes to this day. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Do you remember The Boy Who Could Fly?
No.
Neither do I. I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember anything about it. I just remember it was, like, on a lot. It was like Daryl. I think I saw that one time. But it was, like, a movie that was just on a whole lot. All right. Yeah, that's all from my list.
Man, Men at Work, and I'm going to want to go watch that movie.
I know. You don't own it? Dang it. Because I never see that one. If I was scrolling through Netflix and I saw it, I would have, dropped everything to watch Men at Work. I don't even think I have that on like recorded anywhere.
I don't either. I don't want it at all.
But yeah, Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez, top of their game.
You know what? This is a little bit newer, but I'm going to say it's obscure because, again, going back to this age, no one really talks about it. But The Pest.
You're right. Nobody remembers that movie at all.
I love that movie.
I loved it. I used to.
You and me, bro. We were in the theater, man. I was busting my ass laughing so hard at that thing.
I'm almost scared to watch it right now because I'm afraid it might not hold up, and I don't want to watch it.
I don't know. I would take it for what it was, you know.
But I mean, we were like teenage. You know, we were more at that demographic it was aimed at. Yeah. You know, it might. I'm scared because I'm afraid. Because in my mind, I hold it so high in such high esteem, and. Even if it drops at all in my estimation, I don't want it to drop at all. I like it held so high. Shit, maybe we should watch The Pest. I'm afraid. I wonder if I still remember that whole song, that rap that he does in the beginning.
I never got it down all the way. I tried, but damn it, it was...
Well, because they play it during the credits. So right. I'd be sweeping the theater up while that thing was playing. So I had that thing within like 2 weeks or whatever. I had
it down.
You know
what always bugged me about the end credits? They would show like clips...
They weren't in the movie. Yeah. I was trying to act out that one bit that's not in the movie.
And with the head on the S&M thing with the
chick in the with the
had Joe Morton had Joe Morton in a collar or whatever.
Yeah, that's. I wonder if maybe those are in the deleted scenes in the DVD or something like
is
that.
Is there any DVD of it?
Yeah, there's got to be the DVD. In fact, the little thing it would be hanging. It was at the theater. Something we would hang up to advertise it.
Right.
And when the movie went away, they would let us take home posters and standees and all that. And I took home a little something that hung over the concession. It's still in like at my mom's house in my room. It's still like on the wall somewhere.
Yeah.
That's been hanging up for like that movie came out like '96. Dang, that movie's almost 20 years old.
Oh, for fuck. God.
But yeah.
Talk about rewind. Jesus.
Jeffrey Jones. Ari Spears, who went on to Mad TV and other stuff like that, and Freddy Rodriguez. They got a young Freddy Rodriguez is in there. Ninja.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was in Planet Terror and some other stuff too. And like you said, yeah, Joe Morton's in it.
Cocktail.
And the after the British playwright, nine.
After my two favorite body parts.
Oh, yeah.
In particular, I don't even know what that means, but every time he says that in German.
There's no pleasing you.
Yeah.
There's so many good lines in that movie.
Yeah, it was really, back in the day, it was a really quotable movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, when a comedy is really quotable, I think that helps it live, like Anchorman, that's one of the most quotable, you know, comedies ever, and that helps to keep it alive, and like you said, or like we're still talking about past, we still remember it
this,
really well.
Like, and that falls in the category of what makes it a good movie, but quotable, it's funny, you know, mm-hmm. it had good actors in there, but still nobody talks about it.
Yeah. When they're going to hunt him and they give him that teeny little gun,
yeah.
He's like, why don't I get a lead pipe and a candlestick and we can all play Clue? Oh, fuck, that was funny. The Pest. Do you know who made that? Did he ever go on to make anything else? Like, I never even looked into like the people behind it to see if they did other work, you know?
No.
It was like that movie just existed as its own entity at that point in time,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was weird. The Pest. And if somebody's listening and doesn't even know what The Pest is, and we're like saying all these lines, yeah,
shame on you. Go watch
yeah
it.
Shame on you. His name, the character name was Pistario.
Mm-hmm.
So they,
I remember
they called
that,
him
yeah.
Yeah, they called him Pest. And when he's playing that that game, he goes,
blind.
Because I am blind. When he does that, oh fuck, that was funny. A guy named Paul Miller, I don't know what else he's done. He did In Living Color, and looks like he's done a lot of TV. Does some Saturday Night Live.
So he hasn't really gone on to do anything.
Not movie-wise, yeah. Pest. Anyways.
Yeah, if you're looking for like a cinematic masterpiece, I wouldn't call it that. But, I mean, just the humor is just good. A lot of good lines. I don't know who wrote it. Maybe the writers went on to other things.
Well, like I said, we were both, you know, in high school, you know, like the scene where he's in that spinning machine, he throws up, and all the vomit hits the wall. I remember cracking up, I'm laughing my ass off at that. But now I'd be like, oh, it's a puke humor or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a few gags that are kind of lowbrow today. Like when he eats that spicy food and he's like a dog scratching his butt on the ground. I don't know if I would be like, that's, you know, pure hilarity, the height of comedy. At the, you know, it's a guy rubbing his ass on the ground, kind of like a dog does. But at the time, I was, laughing my ass off. Anyways.
And you could revisit that one.
So. Yeah.
Alright. Are we done with this one?
I think, so. I mean, well, I exhausted my list. I had like a dozen on there, and I think I ended up going through all of them. Yeah.
Alright. Listeners, you just heard us talk about some obscure movies from our childhood. So why don't you chime in? Why don't you use our Twitter? Let's do hashtag #AnswerPCR. Just tell us on Twitter or on Facebook, facebook.com/popculturerewind. Let us know.
PCR,
what...
like lost gems or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Answer. Okay, whatever. It's yours.
Because we're going to ask.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to ask, what's your obscure favorite childhood movie that you remember growing up watching? May not be good. No one may remember it. But damn it, you liked it.
The Pest guy, he's directed like a lot of sketch comedy. Well, I'm wondering. He's done a lot of sketch comedy like SNL, Mad TV, stuff like that. And a lot of like comedians, stand-up specials, specials like that. He hasn't really done too many like movies and things like that. But he's directed like anything that's not a movie, he's directed it. Wizard of Oz on Ice, he directed that. I don't even know what the hell that is. But yeah, he's got a long career. He's got like 150 directing credits. But
so
they're all like TV shows and things like that.
Is it current?
Super Bowl halftime show, stuff like that. You know, he's one of those kind of guys who probably was just given a movie gig to see how he does with a movie, but he seems to have stuck to like all this more obscure directing. Wanda Sykes stand up, Patton Oswalt stand up, Louis Black. He's just one of those.
Someone
guys.
Gave Wanda Sykes a stand up? Ugh.
Oh, you don't like Wanda Sykes?
No.
Damn near do I. Anyways, Premium Blend, 40 episodes of that. That stand up special on Comedy Central? Yeah.
All right. Like I said before, just shoot us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Tell us what you think is a good obscure movie from your childhood, and maybe we'll rate it on the air on a future episode. So, until then, always remember to pop your culture.
I pull a scam and I'm in it. So low to the flow, pick the pocket on a midget. Slick shyster, the best meister. Living life in Miami's vice. Mash, see? Nobody messing with the frog, see? Watch him a sign now. Like a booger, I stick to this. Take a whiff of this.
One stinky dinky, two stinky dinky,
Doodle Mongo, chili combo.
Old school beat meets Latin freak, and you don't stop. When the old school beat meets Latin freak, and you don't quit, and you don't stop. It's the schemingest, keenest scam artist. God, it's so hard to be modest.
Jack my minimal, but I'm a sex symbol. So slick, I stole a wig from his candlestick.
I'm in the mood to scam, simply because I can.
I'm the Latin Houdini.
Disappear in a flash with your cash in a bank like a genie.
Lucy, I'm home, dando la trello, say.
Brick to the east, brick to the west.
Brick that body to the chest.
Yes, yes, y'all, and it's like that.
Slightly, no.
Get stupid, get retarded, cause fast to get the party started.
Which way did you go, George? Which way did you go?
Revolutious, revolutious, atrocious.
Ah, what a rude, what a
freak,
what a sucker butt.
I'm a man of a million disguises. I'm as crazy as you make them, I shake them, I like them. So scientific, hate to be specific. E equals MC squared, you do them, multiply it, divide it. Slide up inside it, blend it, mix it. Damn, I'm good.
Did somebody summon me?
Alright, so we're gonna try.
So these people saw Bruce Wayne go into a sneaky room 5 minutes before Batman showed up, right? Nobody.
Those two thought
that was weird.
Well, was that in the same room? Or in their
mind? That was in a different room, but those people saw him go into a room.
Right.
And then they must know Batman showed up.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on. The police obviously showed up. They probably got statements, so they didn't talk to anybody else at the party and say, Batman, so come on.
So you went the whole like procedural interrogation and everything. Like,
no, I'm just saying that. Come, that's not a stretch to say. For all we know, that they came back out in the room by now. But they saw Bruce Wayne disappear into a back room right before Batman shows up, and Bruce Wayne's not around.
They don't know Batman's there. I'm just saying.
Anyways. Well, don't worry. We're going to get into it. No, wait, not today.
Yeah.
Or not right now. Okay. Well, whenever you're ready to...
All right.